Now, the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Thursday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review, who is also co-author of Heavy Lifting. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Good, bad, and crazy martinis for conservatives today. And, Jim, we start in the windy city of Chicago for their outstanding football team, an outstanding National League baseball team. The city ought to be commended, but otherwise there's a lot of problems. And one of them is in our good martini in a couple of different ways today. This is from Yahoo and Reuters. Chicago Mayor Rahm Emanuel, under heavy criticism for his handling of a police shooting that resulted in the death of a black teen, gave an emotional apology on Wednesday, hours before angry crowds closed city streets while demanding his resignation. He gave the apology, of course, under pressure. This is all following the release of the video and the charges against a police officer for the 2014 shooting of Laquan McDonald. And, Jim, this is interesting in a number of different ways. First of all, it's interesting to watch this movement kind of turn against one of the Democrats' favorite people. But at the same time, this one appears far more warranted because there's mounting evidence that this dash cam shooting was out there a long time, and Rahm Emanuel was already locked in a tougher-than-expected re-election fight last year, possibly push this off to the side so it wouldn't affect the campaign.
Yeah, every time this gets some national attention, it does the cause of the right some good, and certainly Republicans, to say, look, this is an entirely Democrat-dominated city. The Republican Party, it is a nominal, scattered, you know, they meet in a phone booth-type establishment there. The simplistic narrative of big bad conservatives and Republicans and, you know, these good noble Democrats who are standing with the people, it just doesn't hold water. We made this point in Baltimore. We made this point in Ferguson, that these are circumstances in which you have two groups of Democrats arguing with each other. Now, it's particularly delicious because Rahm Emanuel was Barack Obama's chief of staff. You would think that status and being such a key player in Obama's first term would make him untouchable. But there has, in fact, been a scandal in the Chicago Police Department, and that dash cam does certainly make it look like the police used a heck of a lot of deadly force on a kid who wasn't that threatening. But even more significantly, the dash cam was held under wraps, and I guess it was a Burger King security footage that might have recorded the shooting also, kept under wraps until after the election. No less an authority than the New York Times said, hey, this is blatant manipulation of public opinion and withholding of information in order to secure re-election. Did you detect any irony there, Greg?
Benghazi?
There you go. Exactly. You know, so if you guys can understand it in this circumstance, why can you not understand it in that circumstance? We've had a lot of cases of alleged police brutality or police misbehavior that appears to be in a gray area. Tough to say if you, unless you were in that circumstances. Excessive force is in the eye of the beholder, or perhaps the person who's experiencing it. But in this case, you know, the 14 shots, it looks pretty bad. What we have always seen in Rahm Emanuel, this relentlessly ambitious, egomaniacal, arrogant, autocratic guy, suddenly everybody else on the left is seeing the exact same guy too. So, you know, pop the popcorn, let's watch and see how this shakes out in the Windy City.
Yeah, I would say two things in response to this. Having watched Rahm in the Obama administration, in Congress, and even in the Clinton administration, they're probably not going to get him out. That will be the very last thing he will do, given his thirst for power. At the same time, credit to the protesters, because, Jim, they're not letting a crisis go to waste.
Ah, very good, very good. The other thing it is kind of interesting. It's just the headline, Rahm Emanuel apologizes. I mean, you know, that's almost like, wow, are we in a science fiction scenario or something? And then the second thing is, you mentioned his long history. The stories about Rahm Emanuel are pretty well known. He once mailed a dead fish to a rival. He went on some sort of like tirade in a restaurant and started stabbing the table with a steak knife, saying that his enemies would be dead, dead, dead. No, I'm not mixing this up with the Untouchables. This is an actual story about Rahm Emanuel. Now, and I've always contended that if Rahm Emanuel were a Republican, you would hear these stories and it would be like, oh, wow, this guy's a dangerous psychopath, right? This guy's got huge temper issues. He's a maniac. He screams at people. He's full of rage, et cetera. But, you know, the coverage, what was the tone of just about every single profile of Rahm Emanuel for the last 15 years, Greg?
Tough guy. Gets things done.
Also a little bit of, oh, that Rahm. The time he mailing dead fish and threatening to stab people and things like that. He's just such a wacky guy.
Don't forget the time he went into the house gym, into the shower to round up Obamacare votes. That was
there you go. Exactly. Yes. So, you know, in other, if you're not like one of the president's guys, that's considered crazy behavior. So, in other words, karma is catching up to Rahm Emanuel, and it just tastes delicious.
All right, on to the bad martini now. And one of the frustrating things for people who are not supporting Donald Trump for president in the 2016 Republican presidential process is the fact that no matter what he seems to do, people are just not going to listen to criticism coming from what is considered mainstream Republicans, even some who have a pretty conservative policy and voting record. And for those who don't like Trump, they're pulling their hair out because nothing ever seems to change the minds of a decent chunk, about a third or so of the Republican electorate. But the Republicans themselves keep adding ammunition to why people are so frustrated with business as usual. The latest example is the Politico version of the story. House Republican leaders are preparing a short-term stopgap spending bill to avoid a government shutdown. Multiple sources said it will move to the floor for a vote on Friday just as the current funding bill lapses. GOP leaders are still wrestling with how long the new bill would fund the government for, but several aides on both sides of the aisle said it would extend spending authority until sometime from December 16th to December 18th. One good nugget here is that one of the reasons they're doing that is to provide 3 days for people to go over this omnibus bill. But, Jim, Republicans control the House and the Senate. A, there's an omnibus. Second, the can keeps getting kicked down the road here, and people wonder why people are so frustrated with the Republicans in Washington.
Well, am I looking at this and crazy for thinking, well, this just sets up another capitulation on December 18th?
Yeah, pretty much.
I mean, am I you know, crazy for thinking, you know, I'll just rip the Band-Aid off, all right? It's going to hurt. Just do it all at once instead of like a little bit at a time, a little bit at a time. You know, even under the new speaker, no indication they figured out how to get leverage under President Obama. They desperately want to avoid a government shutdown. We're right back where we were. Hey, how long until this presidency ends, Greg?
13 months.
13 months. We have a long time. We have a long 13 months.
Okay, on to the crazy martini now. And as long as we're talking about Trump, let's just stay talking about Donald Trump. Because in addition to all of the attention he's getting for his call to place a temporary ban on all Muslim immigration, the Donald is once again rattling the saber about possibly mounting a third-party bid. Doesn't want to, but he might have to if he's not treated fairly, whatever that means. He says particularly as the front-runner. He was asked about it by Michael Strahan, because who else would ask him about this, on Live with Kelly and Michael today. And here was what Trump had to say about it.
The people have been phenomenal. Mm-hmm. The party, I'll let you know about that. And if I don't get treated fairly, I would certainly consider that. In fact, they did a poll in one of the, I think it was USA Today, where they said 68% of the people that were Republicans right. would follow Trump if he went independent. I don't want to do that. Number one, when you're leading by 20 and 21 points, you don't do that.
What he's saying, Jim, is he's leaving the door open, even though he had that much ballyhooed meeting with Reince Priebus where he showed off the pledge that he would not run as a third-party candidate. But in just calculating the math here, 68% of 30-some percent of the Republican vote equals President Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, two things. One is that in that interview, he says 68% of Republicans. No, Donald, it's 68% of your supporters who are right now, depending on which poll you look at, anywhere from the high 20s to about a third. I think he tops out at about 35% in one of the polls. So you take 68% of that percentage and you end up, you know, about 10% of the entire electorate, which is kind of, you know, Ross Perot 1996 style. Mm-hmm. If he considers that a victory, terrific. I think, he, you know, as you point out, it would almost certainly elect Hillary Clinton. But, you know, look, maybe he's very happy for his former wedding guest. Who knows? He's certainly never seemed to be quite as mad at her as he's angry at anybody else, too. And from the very beginning, you know, as long as I'm treated fairly, and he never lays out what he constitutes being treated fairly. One of the things that the last time we were discussing Trump third party was because of Liz Mayer, who used to work for Scott Walker. I guess she worked for the RNC back in, like, 2008, okay? So theoretically, he said that the RNC was going after him because the RNC complains has total mind control over everybody who ever worked for it, for starters. Reince Priebus wasn't even there at the RNC at that point, but somehow he's supposed to hold former employees accountable. And Rick Wilson and like one or two other guys were readying this grand anti-Trump offensive or something like that. And that was going to be enough unfairness for him to do that. You can now understand why it was such a pain in the neck to negotiate with Trump, because he believes that if there's anything that is unfair of this vague term, he can walk away from the deal. I will point out, once again, Trump handled the questioning from Michael Strahan very well. clearly, he ranks right up there with, you know, Edward R. Murrow and the great journalistic ones. As a football fan, Greg, you do know the very best way, if you have to run the ball, where how to handle a defender like Strahan, right?
What's that?
Run it in between his teeth.
Strahan had asked some tough questions. I'm sure Trump would have had a lot of tweets about Strahan's
teeth. There you go. Yeah, and it would have been, you know, he would have made the cheap teeth joke that I just did. So anyway, on that happy note, Greg, only one more day in the week, right?
Yes, exactly. Although we should give Strahan credit. He and the defensive line stopped a perfect Patriots season several years back. So there should always be a little bit of credit for that, even though you hate the Giants too.
No, I give them the Nobel Prize for that one.
Jim, have a great day, and we'll talk to everyone tomorrow on the Friday edition of the 3 Martini Lunch.